This is Hollywood Connections under Don Mee. And this is Deidre. You're listening to Chat with Deidre, a Beauty Queen reporter special. I'm Miss Florida Reporter Lifetime. And tonight I have a special guest. He is a former Marine, a lawyer, actor, writer, producer, Scott Pryor. Thank you so much for being on this interview with me tonight. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Deidre?
I'm good. I actually met you at the International Christian Film and Music Festival in Orlando. I don't know if you remember me, but I actually auditioned as an actor, and you were in the room, and I actually thought I did a terrible audition, but then I saw you later, and you actually said, oh, good job, and I was like, oh, wow, thank you so much. So how was that experience for you?
Oh, that was great. It was great coming down there and being able to watch everybody come out and act and you know, get some tips, and it was a great convention.
Right, awesome. So you're a U.S. Marine veteran, a trial lawyer, a writer, actor, producer, director, so you wear many different hats. How do you step into each position of your life?
I'm sorry, repeat that question.
How do you step into each position in your life? Like, how did you know you wanted to do these different things?
Well, that's a great question. Well, it started with, you know, I love adventure. So I actually watched Full Metal Jacket as a little kid with my dad. And watching that movie, it made me want to join the Marine Corps. And I had a couple, a principal and a PE teacher that were also Marines, and so I joined the Marine Corps at 17, and from there I went to the reserves, and then I went to you know, for my education, and then ended up going into law because I like fighting for people, and what I do for a living is basically fight for people who've been hurt or killed through the negligence of others, you know, fighting's in my blood. So along those lines, I like to take the stories of my clients and the success of us telling their stories in the courtroom and work those into inspirational films. So it's been kind of one profession feeds the other, so to speak. That's just the path that God's brought me on.
That's really cool. So you've been able to, you know, step into these positions and help a lot of people, and now you're doing movies that are inspiring people, and I just watched your latest movie, Tulsa. Can you tell us about Tulsa and how that movie came about?
Sure, absolutely. So Tulsa is the story of a young girl, and Tommy Colson's her long-lost father, and Tommy didn't know he had a daughter. And we start the movie with Tommy, and he's in a rut. He's stuck in life, and he's really just hanging on the edge of existence and really not wanting to exist anymore. And his friend calls him and says, "Hey, I have your daughter." And Tommy didn't know he has a daughter, isn't ready to be a father, or certainly isn't fit to be a father. And this little girl named Tulsa, who's a powerful force, interjects herself into his life. And there's a lot of comedy because they fight with each other at first. There's a lot of friction, but they end up fighting for each other. So it's a story of hope and inspiration and love. And it's a very, very powerful film, powerful story. And God willing, it's changing a lot of lives. So how it was brought about is I was actually working on a case where I was representing a young girl who had suffered some tragedy. And I was discussing the case with the family, and I was preparing for trial, and I talked to the father and the family, and I said, "How has this affected your life, this injury with your daughter? I mean, obviously you have medical bills, there's pain and suffering, but how has this affected your life on a human level, on a heart level?" And I remember the father telling me, you know, we used to go to the daddy-daughter dance, and we'd dance the whole night through, and after the injury, we could only go for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and then we'd have to leave. And that was so impactful. And I remember we had just shot our second film, which was called Black Bear. And I was actually writing another script, and I was flying back from L.A. And it just came to me on the airplane. I was preparing for the trial, and that conversation just kind of inspired us to write Tulsa.
That's awesome. And I remember seeing at the end that you dedicated to your sister's name is Tulsa. So did she have some inspiration also?
She does. My sister, if you ever met her, you would walk away saying, that is probably the nicest, sweetest, most genuine, caring person I've ever met in my life. And that is my sister. Now, growing up, I was kind of a pain in the butt brother, for sure. And so this is right. My way of giving back to her, I guess. But she's always had my back, and she's always just been a great person. She's always helping other people at the sacrifice of herself. And so I just dedicated the film to her because I thought it was appropriate.
That's really cool. I'm sure she's happy to see her name, and you know her brother made a movie titled after her name. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So what are some of... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I didn't tell her about the dedication, and I let her watch an earlier cut of the film, and when she read it, she cried, and she's like, I don't deserve that. I'm like, oh, yes, you do. Sweet, sweet person.
That's really cool. So what are some of the blessings and some of the challenges of filmmaking? I got to see your YouTube channel for Prior Entertainment and the behind the scenes of Tulsa and how that was created. So, and I liked watching what the other crew members did and all those things. And so there's a lot that happens behind the scenes. So what are some of the blessings and the challenges of filmmaking?
Whew, that's a really good question. And yeah, we spliced a bunch of the behind the scenes of what the different crew members were. So anyone listening, go ahead and go to Prior Entertainment and check out the YouTube channel, and you get to see the different, some of the different scenes and the way we shot, and a lot of, if you're a filmmaker, you're going to get a good education. But the challenges of filmmaking and the rewards, the reward is always to help people. That's why we make films. That's why we create films, is to help as many people as we can. That's our goal. That's our why. We want to inspire, educate, and entertain. And there's many, many challenges. Typically, the two main challenges are time and money. So we shot Tulsa in 20 days, which is flying,
to say
the least. And, you know, we only have so many shoot days, and we have a very small budget now. Most people who watch the film have no idea what we shot the film for, but we've got a bunch of creative people who come together, and it's a passion project for them. And so that's also a blessing. It's just kind of becoming family on these films, and life, you know, you develop lifelong friends. The challenges are definitely time and money, and you're working very, very long hours, and there can definitely be some friction among some of the leadership. Not always, but sometimes that can happen, but definitely the time and resources, and then you have to be able to pivot because unexpected things always come up. Things don't always work out as you plan, but you just have to definitely trust God and know that He will work it out. And, you know, it can be stressful at times, but it's extremely rewarding, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's wonderful to have the opportunity to create with just great people, and, you know, we've had a great team and a great leadership team to help implement and create, so...
Right. That's really good to have like a strong team that you're around for, you know, that many hours. And Tulsa, you got to have John Schneider in your movie. Was he someone that you really wanted to work with?
Absolutely. I saw John in his TV shows, and as a little kid, I remember watching him, and it was surreal, and it was a bucket list item for sure. And we actually got in a little bit of trouble. I picked him up from the airport, and he got me out a speeding ticket. And then I'm a big car guy, and I have some muscle cars. And we were shooting all night with John, and I had one of my muscle cars on set. And I said, we ate, and I said, hey, let's go have some fun. And so he did some stunts, and then I said, it's my turn to drive, and he was not really excited about riding with me doing any. I don't know if I would call it stunts, but having a lot of fun. And anyhow, they actually called the police. The locals kind of called the police, and they were looking for this car, and we parked and went back inside. And we didn't get in trouble, but the police were definitely looking for it. But it was fun.
That is so fun. I can't imagine, like, meeting one of my favorite actors and having the best time and almost getting arrested with an actor.
It was surreal, and John and I text from time to time. He reached out to me on a couple things, and I try to stay in touch. I don't blow his phone up or anything, but he's just a great guy to work with. Big heart, and I can't say enough about him. And we really really enjoyed our time together, and we have we post on our social media when I got pulled over. John was talking the police out of giving me a ticket, and so it's kind of humorous, but you'll have to go out there and check it out.
That's really cool. So is there anyone else you'd like to work with in the future, or
that list is crazy long. There's a ton of people I'd love to work with, a ton of people, but I would say Mark Wahlberg, Mel Gibson, Tom Hardy, Christian Bale. You know, there's a ton of people I'd love to work with.
That's cool. And it's cool that you write your own films and you star in your own films. That's awesome. That's something I like to do. One day I do a lot of writing, and I grew up writing plays and having, like, my friends act out, things like that. So how do you start the writing process of your films?
Ooh, that's a really good question. So, I'm a stickler on story. If you don't have a great story, you will not have a great film. You can never make a great film out of a good story. So, story is key. Yeah. And you have to spend a lot of time developing the story. There's two books I recommend. One is Story by Robert McKee. And it's kind of the Bible of writing. And there's another one called Save the Cat. And that's kind of a breakdown of if you want to write a script. So I follow Save the Cat loosely, but implement the elements of Story by Robert McKee. But I like to start a story with what's the grand finale? What's the pinnacle of this story? And then kind of work backwards from there. I need to know. I don't like stories that are predictable. So if you've watched any of my films, usually they turn left and right, and there's a gap in expectation. And that's important for me. I need to know what's going to be the twist. And I kind of start there and then build backwards and onto that, definitely onto a framework. But we really, really outline the story and develop around characters and dialogue and work really, really hard to tell a great story. So it's a lot of preparation. It's a lot of thinking through and getting good constructive feedback from the right people. Not everybody's opinion is weighted equally, for sure.
Right. So I did watch The List and Black Bear. They're on Tubi TV. So if you want to go see The List and Black Bear, you can watch them for free on Tubi TV. And those are two very different films. I really like The List, this character. It's like him finding himself, and it's really, really good. And then I love Black Bear and all the action and the boxing. That was so cool. So what was the best part of making those two films?
The most fun. So The List was cool because it was our very first film that we made, and again, we shot it in 21 days. And it was just a blast because it was so new, and it's you almost like pinch yourself. I'm like, are we really doing this? And I had a lot of anxiety because I was taking on a very big, serious role, and I was wearing so many hats, you know, producing, being the writer and all that. I didn't direct The List, but it was a lot to take on for our first project. And I was extremely intimidated. And going into it, my nerves were just shot. But I won't quit. I'll just, you know, you take that step of faith and pierce that veil of fear. And so at the end, it was great to have a project, and it won a bunch of awards, and we got distribution all over the world. And we still get people who reach out to us, where the movies help them, and they love it. So that was a lot of fun. Black Bear, I have a background in like wrestling and martial arts and the Marines. And so, you know, I fought in the martial arts and wrestled at a high level. So I love fight films. I love fight montages. And so that was kind of my dream, to do a fight film, but I wanted to do a fight film, but have some pretty serious drama. Kind of like a Greek tragedy mixed with a fight film, and that's how I describe Black Bear. It was fun getting to do the stunts and the fights, but it's also pretty taxing and grueling. You know, we had some real UFC fighters, and it was fun, you know, sparring with them and just working out the fights and the choreography on that. But again, great cast, great crew, great leadership. Just, you know, kind of different experience and understanding the real life fighting versus Hollywood acting fighting is so different. And so you have to learn to really exaggerate your punches and perform for the camera as opposed to just brawling it out.
Right. Well, that's really cool. So your production company, you changed it to Prior Entertainment. You work closely with like your wife, and your sons are in your movies. So what is it like to work with your family on this?
Well, my wife, we've been together for, you know, since we were in college. So we work very, very well together. She helps me run the law practice. She's kind of my secret sauce. And our skill sets are very, very different, and we're very different personality-wise. So we really complement each other, and we kind of know how each other thinks. And so it's very beneficial in making the films. My sons, I think they enjoyed being in The List, but only my youngest one is remotely interested in acting, so we'll see. He's definitely a performer. He's a great athlete, but we'll see. I don't push them in one direction or the other, but my middle son, you know, has a huge following on TikTok, and so it's Prior Gaming, and he's a big Minecraft guy, so he's got over 1 million followers, and he posts these really cool videos that most of the time I don't understand.
That's cool. Yeah, TikTok is its own world.
Oh, yeah. A world that I don't enter into.
Right. So do you have any advice for aspiring filmmakers?
Absolutely. Take your iPhone out and go create. Like, you have to... Start developing content. Don't wait until everything's perfect. You've got to start telling stories. If you want to be a filmmaker, you have to start telling stories. You've got to start creating. And then that's how you're going to hone your skills. And so go out there and shoot. Even if it's a small project, get your friends together. I would also say volunteer as a production assistant. Try to get on a movie or film set. Work for free. But work very hard, and you'll establish a reputation, and you will be noticed, and you'll be asked to be on other projects. It happens with us a number of times. And if you get on a film project, say if you get on our film project, and you don't work hard, you will be asked to leave. But if you do work hard, you will be recognized and, you know, do what it takes. And we've had several people come in as interns, and then they've gotten invited to a lot of other projects. So work very hard, but get in there and learn the craft.
All right. That's really, really good advice. So what's the best advice that someone has given you that's helped you in the different places of your life?
Ooh, best advice at different places in my life. As an actor, a friend of mine went to the Actor Studio in New York, and he told me when I approach a role, he's like, have an opinion about the role and about the work. He said, have your own opinion. Now, you can always adjust it with the director, but have an opinion on the work on as you're developing a character. You got to make choices, obviously. So that's as an actor. In terms of life, I would say one of the biggest things that I've learned and is just, you know, learning that God has a purpose for your life and really leaning into that and trusting that and praying fervently that God will reveal and kind of open the path that he has for you. And you look to your passions, look what you're passionate about, but at the intersection of what you're also really good at. So when those right. when those two things cross, really, really delve into that. What's something that God is putting on your heart that you just kind of can't shake? You wake up with it, you go to bed with it, and it may not be the job you're in or the career you're in or the path you're on, but what is it that just is kind of on a burden on your heart? What is it you would do for free? You know, and not have to take a paycheck for it. Now, sometimes you're going to have to work a job or two or three or four in order to fuel that passion, but figure out what God's purpose is for your life. And again, look to your passions, because that's how God wired us.
Awesome. You know what? Thank you, Scott. That was such awesome advice. We all need to definitely look to God for what he wants us to do, because he created us, he has a plan for us, and it's awesome to see people living out their passion and to live out what God is wanting them to do, because we can all see that. We see the fruit of their labor. So I see the fruit of your labor. I'm so thankful that you did this interview with me tonight, and we'll definitely go check out your other projects that you have coming up. We do have to go, but really quickly, can you give us the website to check out your other projects?
Sure, absolutely. If you go to my social media, it's Official Scott Pryor, and Pryor spelled P-R-Y-O-R, and you can follow me on different social media platforms. And then our film company is called Pryor Entertainment, and so you can channel and like us, join us, all that stuff, and we'll post about our future projects.
All right, thank you so much. Have a good rest of your night.
We'll be right back. Looking to cool off in the summer or turn up the heat in the winter? Then head over to Clearwater Ice Arena, Tampa Bay Skating Academy Oldsmar, or TBSA Countryside. With three locations in the Tampa Bay area, you can enjoy a wide range of hockey and figure skating activities and programs. We offer youth and adult pickup hockey and leagues, skate, shoot, freestyle, and public skating times throughout the day, so you will want to come back again and again. It's fun for the whole family. And don't forget to schedule your next birthday party or private event with us. Visit TampaBayIce.com for more information.
Do you want your car or truck to shine bright like a diamond? Then you need Right Direction Auto Care. They are mobile. They come to your home or office. Health and safety is their number one priority. They disinfect your car before cleaning it, after cleaning it, and they wear masks. All of their work is guaranteed. They have over 25 years experience. Please call Alan Campbell directly at 727-608-6019 and make sure you tell him Lisa V sent you.
Hi, I'm Dawn Reese, Hollywood Connections, and I am putting together a contest called Hollywood Star. Do you want to be the next Hollywood star? Do you model, act? Do you sing? Well, call this number, 727-871-7788 for your application registration. We will have you live on the air. You'll get the live video stream as well as Facebook and podcast, and you can be connected to agents, producers, casting directors, and we have a SAG agent under our show. So don't delay. Call now, 727-871-7788. I'll see you on the air.
Let me tell you about a company that not only gives back to the community, but cleans cancer patients and vets homes for free. Made to Order Florida, Inc. Located at 7030 Burlington Avenue North, St. Petersburg, Florida. Phone number 727-384-6243. Joanne has over 35 years of experience, and they always give back to the community through Love Thy Neighbor, which is a nonprofit that helps directly pay for the cancer patients and vets' homes and anybody who's in need for house cleaning. Please give them a call. Once again, 727-384-6243 and let Joanne know Lisa V sent you.
Hi, I'm Dawn Reese with Dawn's Darlings, and I am a baton teacher, and I've had over 50 children in parades, and I teach group and private lessons. If you'd like your daughter to be in my group session or my private session, please call 727-871-7788 for a year of fun and excitement. I'll see you twirling your batons. Call 727-871-7788.
My name is Teresa Velasquez. This is Hollywood Connection Special with Dawn Reese. And I have the Hollywood Connections Beauty Queen Special. And I am World Classic Miss Universe Tourism 21 to 22. And I wanted to talk today about surviving relationships during the coronavirus pandemic. So I wanted to tell people a little bit about some of the research I did that could be helpful during this time.
Jesus.
So one thing about just the sense of monotony can cause a numbness to feelings, which is part of coping with so much uncertainty in the world right now with this pandemic. So it is important for each person to take responsibility for their individual health and their well-being. Self-care is very important. With everyone's schedule changed, it's established and maintained some kind of a routine. So given the routine, it was just little things. Sticking to regular sleep hours, waking up on time, making the bed, and getting dressed each day. Eating very, nutritious food. Make sure you're eating well. A lot of people tend to not do that. So schedule breaks. Do some yoga, meditation sessions, things like that. So keep the workday limited. Couples who are working at home, it helps to get boundaries between work hours and time spent. Because at this time of year, you have a lot of anxiety. May tempt some people to lose themselves in work. People who invest a lot of time in their personal identity and professions. They might miss the routine, the meetings, the structure that go with that. Be aware of the substance abuse and abuse. Increased stress can, make you smoke, and perhaps you have a substance abuse that includes drinking more alcohol. Keep an eye on the cocktails. Too much alcohol can set the stage for unhealthy relationships and interactions. So make sure that you're not falling into that. So do we get Lakeisha on Skype? Deborah? Nothing yet? Okay. So exercising outdoors. It's important to, de-stress. Go outside. Do something positive. Even little things, as I said. For couples that are used to spending time in the gym, it might require some changes to keep up with fitness before, the gym in shape and all that will open. But due to the pandemic, all that has changed, of course. It's important to stay fit and exercise when you can work out on machines or take live classes. Partners go for a run or bike ride. They can garden or just even, a little walk, a park. Couples who are more if you want to do regular walks outdoors, meet and make sure to do that. Just go outside and just get in a routine of doing something like that, just walking, something simple. As far as the intimacy, staying at home to help contain the dangers, viral pandemic is not exactly a romantic vacation. So couples should modify their expectations about intimacy. People are distracted, and there's a blur between work and home life. The stress is very real. You're going to feel this time. This time, with the pandemic, you're going to feel a lot of stress. So, particularly once both people are living with children at home, financial concerns, job loss, all that is real, or illness affecting a friend or family member. So, keep all this in mind, these concerns along with uncertainties about what's going to happen next year with intimacy. So just trying to stay positive. We're almost out of this, hopefully, with all the vaccinations going on, and it's hopefully getting better. I'm hearing some good things on the news. So let's pray and then continue moving forward, being positive, doing good things. Plan something fun. So couples, pre-pandemic plans may be canceled, postponed. Making new, different ones is just as important. You can take a drive together. People drive in the car. I'll do that from time to time. Sightseeing, plan a special meal. Or if you have the resources, you can make a small purchase that you can both enjoy, maybe on Amazon. There's also apps that can help couples virtually, with your friends, your family, have some dinners together, game nights. These, I did hear there was going to start opening up movie theaters. That's a good thing. But there's not going to be a lot of people in there because it's a social distancing. They're still going to be doing that. The important thing is to create things for you, even if they're too small. They can make a big difference in your life. Use the time to make things better. The couples who were in a good place, in a good relationship before this whole COVID-19, they will have a time withstanding stress during the pandemic. Even partners who were struggling before the stay-at-home mandate began can use the time to work through some of their problems, if that's what you choose to do. And the couples can find opportunities to communicate, connect, working through their feelings, even those very painful situations. Make a plan for relationships in crisis. There are relationships that were bad to begin with, or relationships that have worsened at this time, point of abuse and violence. Safety comes first. So this is an example of why maintaining connections to family and friends. So make sure that if you find yourself in an abusive relationship, you are connected to your family and your friends. Anyone who feels in danger due to the domestic violence should have a plan in place to leave and get to a place. So make sure to stay connected with your family. So anybody on the phone, on Skype? Nothing yet. Okay. So when couples are apart due to the pandemic has separated some couples due to work schedules or just geographic distance. Young couples and new relationships might be suffering from extreme physical distance as each person shelters in place with their own family, sometimes miles apart. This is a research done by Chris Kraft, he's a PhD, so this is a really good article about how to deal with the pandemic and helping couples stay healthy during this time. So the COVID pandemic has separated couples due to work schedules and just, you know, distance. Young couples and new relationships might be suffering from the strain of physical distance as each person shelters in place with or her family. So I can feel it too. I mean, I have always been very sociable, and I like being with friends and family and traveling and all that. I feel it. You know, I get to work, I come back, and there's not a whole lot you have to find little small things that will keep you occupied, keep you positive. And I'll put on my TV, watch a movie. You know, I have my family here. But as far as reaching out, going out, I can't. It's because, you know, you have that danger of being exposed. I do know very close people who have had COVID. And it's just strange, very strange that, you know, they're here today and gone tomorrow. But it is happening. So we have to take precautions. But to continue, be on your best behavior. It's helpful for partners to look at the shelter-in-place situation and make a conscious commitment to stay strong for one another during unusual but finite time. Most people understand that these are unprecedented circumstances and are willing to work at being more patient and considerate than usual. The pandemic won't last forever, even though on sometimes, or some days, it feels like it might. It feels like this is going on for a long time, and can't wait till it's over. Treating one another well could leave couples even better off once the pandemic is under control and we return to a more normal life. So, this, you know, this is really good advice by this PhD. Ask for help if you need it. In the meantime, Kraft points out that mental health professionals and therapists are still seeing patients with safety measures in place at their offices. Reach out for mental health support if you need it. So, you know, don't be afraid to do that as well if you need it at that point. And so these are some good tips for those experiencing, you know, some stress, anxiety. Another thing, another researcher writes about nurturing our relationship during the coronavirus pandemic. It continues to dramatically affect our lives and relationships with other people in our communities, our families, our homes, and our work places. Working is unusual because now you have to have to wear a mask and the gel, and we have people fumigating where I work all the time, and so you have to deal with that, and it's just so different, and the distancing, you have to continuously remind yourself to do that. So, millions of us have lost some, even all, of what were our normal ways as we try to keep each other safe. Many of us have also found ourselves spending far more time than before with those who share our homes, whether family, housemates, or both, not to mention pets. So you're always with the same person over and over and over. And, you know, even though you love each other, you're there all the time, so there's no outlet, there's nothing out besides maybe taking a drive, going to the park, bicycle riding. You have to find little fun things to do. So, both losing physical contact with people and being thrown into much closer contact than usual feels stressful and maybe worrying, frightening, or even unbearable. At a time when we all face ongoing uncertainty and worrying about coronavirus, these stresses on our relationships are probably all the harder to cope with. So it's worth trying to be extra patient and understanding both with each other and ourselves. So very important to do this, you know, to keep the mental health, to keep a healthy relationship. Some of our relationships are likely to be strained, but for the good of our communities, we should stay at home through that. So we are advised to stay home, do the social distancing, make sure you work your gel, and that your families are also observing all this. Many families have teenagers in the house who want to go out, the teenagers. So you have to, you know, be cautious that you don't want anything happening to them. However, for some of us, staying home can be dangerous or intolerable if we're living with a domestic abuse, as I mentioned before in the other article. In these situations, our immediate physical and emotional safety come first. You know, we may have to leave the house. So if they had problems to begin with, this might be just adding. So you have to find a way out. Make sure you contact family, friends, and get yourself out of that situation. Many tips about how to maintain good relationships are as relevant and important now as before coronavirus. For instance, all five of the Mental Health Foundation's top tips for nurturing healthy relationships can still make a big difference. Okay, so these are some of them. Give time. Put more time aside to connect with your friends and family. Connect. I got on the phone with a family member, my uncle's wife. He passed away recently, and I decided, I'm going to call her. And I feel like two young girls talking on the phone, and they feel so good. And I finished talking to her. I just felt so good about it that I had reached out, you know, to her. And we talked about, of course, the pandemic, how it's affected her and me and all this. But I felt good reaching out to her. So do that. Reach out to your friends, maybe someone you hadn't called in a while. Talk to them. Be present. This means really paying attention to the other people in your life and trying not to be distracted by your phone, your work, or the interests. So, again, be present. Be there. Listen. Really listen to what others are saying and try to understand it and to focus on their needs in that moment. So a little bit, you know, just little things that we might need. Let yourself listen to. Honestly, share how you are feeling. So you need to also, being human, share what you're feeling and allow yourself to be heard and supported by others. So if you need some support, get your friends and family to support you. Recognize unhealthy relationships. Harmful relationships can make us unhappy. Recognizing this helps us to move forward and find a solution. I heard some noise there. Is somebody on the line?
Yes.
Who's that?
Hi, Teresa. Deborah.
Ah,
Deborah Hamburger. Yeah, I couldn't get through earlier, so I called this number, and I just caught you. I know it's getting late, but I couldn't get through on the phone line, so I'm sorry about that. But
sorry
the weather conditions.
So bad. So,
yeah, I called this number. Then. I'm just getting on now. So you, I heard a little bit of what you were saying. That was wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, gosh,
a lot of guidance for people.
We need to reach out to each other. And we wanted to talk today about the pandemic and surviving it, our relationships, keeping our relationships healthy. And then Deborah wanted to touch on the American Heart Association, or the month, the Heart Month.
American Heart Month, yes. It's in the 57th year, Teresa. And we discussed it.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of time now, but at least we can touch on to help reach out to other people who need to be made aware that this is American Heart Month, the month of February, and it's a time for awareness to make yourselves aware of your heart health. And, of course, it's not just a time for Valentine's Day, but it's also this month. And Lyndon Johnson, President Lyndon Johnson, wrote a declaration, a proclamation in 1963 that February 1964 would be the first one. And he had a heart condition, so he knew what that was like, and he wanted to be sure that everybody was made aware of those problems. So briefly, what you can do, of course, is to go to the American Heart Association's website, heart.org. You find a lot of information about there and ways to help yourself live a healthier life and to protect your heart health, which is so important. It's been the number one killer in America for Americans, and it's still considered to be a leading cause of death. So we want you to be aware of that today in the time we have left, and be sure to go to heart.org. That's the American Heart Association website. Because during the pandemic, as they've explained, Teresa, we've discussed this, many people delayed or avoided going to hospitals for heart attacks and strokes and symptoms. And they want to prompt people to please, please not do that. They started a national campaign called Don't Die of Doubt to remind people that hospitals are for those symptoms and to go. And also while locked down, they've made note that many people have not been leading a very healthy lifestyle. We discussed that, Teresa, too, about they eat poorly, they've been drinking more alcohol and not eating good meals.
Right, this time of year, too, right? I mean, not this year, but with the pandemic.
Everything. And being locked down so much, they've limited physical activity has been limited, so they want people to please be more active and try to stop smoking. If you do smoke, don't start. Lead a healthy, have a healthy weight, control your blood sugar and cholesterol, and go to the doctor regularly. Have regular appointments and don't skip out on that. And to also, of course, watch your blood pressure, try to control that. And a big thing is to get at least 150 minutes of exercise weekly and physical activity. They want that. People to be reminded of this. It's a good time to remind people about this and to work on yourself. And to try to control everything as far as your blood pressure, your sugars, and to
and what do you
talk
suggest as far as
people.
Physical activity? Since a lot of the in-shapes, you know, extra fitness centers are closed, what do you suggest? Bicycle riding?
Well, walking has always been the biggest option for most people, you know, or you have a bicycle, ride a bicycle. Physically distancing, of course, where we live in California, but they do suggest any kind of moderate to more involved exercise that will help you. Gardening, of course, and all kinds of activities that you can do maybe at home alone if you still need to be alone and socially distanced. And they even mentioned, of course, reducing stress is a big factor, as we've discussed, you know,
oh,
not
yeah.
to be so stressed out.
That's what exercise and, helps with.
Right, it all helps. And, of course, reach out to friends and not be alone so much and to not overthink and not be so, let stress rule your life. So that's been a big factor. A lot of people are so fearful these days and so worried. We watch the evening news. We can't help that. We have to know. But then again, it's stressing people out and it contributes to heart disease. Another way I found on the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute's website, you can find that at nhlbi.nih.gov. Their experts give 7 tips of self-care for each week, beginning with a Sunday. When you can begin to make a plan or a checklist of what you should do each day, and as a brief example, I don't have much time, I know, so 2 minutes of time, but we'll just let you know of that. Begin to make a plan on Sundays, what you can do to help yourself for your heart health, like Mindful Monday is an example, is a day to know your blood pressure numbers and other heart stats. Mm-hmm. And on Tuesday, it's called Tasty Tuesday up there on their website, try a tasty heart healthy recipe and so forth. Wellness Wednesday, put your heart into a good wellness routine and go on through the week making up ideas that will help you keep your heart healthy and make your cardiovascular system healthy so that will even help you with the coronavirus because there are times when people who have weakened systems can't fight that off. So I know our time's about up. I got here late due to the weather situations, but thank you for putting me on.
Yeah, we're having all kinds of weather.
We better start closing off the show, Teresa, I think.
Thank you, Deborah, for sharing that information with us. Again, what is the website?
Well, you have two. You have heart.org, it's the American Heart Association, to refer to that. You have the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute's website, which is nhlbi.nih.gov. They have wonderful information up there. It's very valuable to guide you through all the steps to take to protect your heart health. So those are two good ones, and I would just recommend doing that and leading a healthy lifestyle. Start today and begin to make a plan. So that's
yes,
my advice.
Absolutely. Have a plan. So, do simple little things that can help you and keep your relationship healthy. Reach out to family and friends and stay healthy. Bye, Deborah. Talk to you later.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.